Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were designed to bring men and women to faith in Jesus Christ. Acts of the Apostles tells us what to do to become New Testament Christians. The epistles of Paul, of Peter, of John, and of other writers were given through the Holy Spirit to help us grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. The book of Hebrews furnishes Christians exhortations which should inspire all of us to grow. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:22-25. The Apostle Peter teaches that growth in grace and in knowledge requires that we add virtue to our faith. 2 Peter 1:5. Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary defines the word virtue as follows: conformity to a standard of right. Our word virtue has come to mean cleanliness, chastity, morality. In fact, in the minds of many modern Americans, the word is practically synonymous with refraining from sexual immorality. But that is not the meaning of the original English word, nor is it the meaning of the Greek. Chaucer's Canterbury Tales speaks of soldiers as being virtuous. He did not mean they were morally pure, although some of them certainly may have been. Chaucer used the word with its original meaning: strength, manliness, moral power, moral energy, vigor of soul. The Greek word translated virtue appears only 5 times in the entire New Testament: 1 time in Philippians, 1 time in 1 Peter, and 3 times in 2 Peter. But the scarcity of the Greek word does not indicate that the behavior involved is of little significance. Please remember that the word means moral courage or moral strength. Did not John the Baptist need moral courage when he stood before Herod and told him he had no right to have his brother Philip's wife? Every one of the great prophets of the Old Testament and all the faithful preachers of the New had to have great moral courage to preach the message of God to a hostile world. What person ever exhibited greater moral courage than our Lord Jesus Christ? He told some of his own people, the Jews, that their father was the devil. John 8:44. Matthew 23 records some of the most stinging rebukes to be found anywhere in the sacred writings. Our Lord said to the Jews, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Matthew 23:27-33. There were many times in Paul's life when he was in jeopardy because he had the courage to tell his listeners what they needed to hear, not necessarily what they wanted to hear. In the city of Lystra, for example, Paul was stoned, dragged outside the city walls, and left for dead. In cities wherever he went, there were enemies of the cross who wanted to put him to death. He knew the heartaches and dangers he faced as he went about preaching the gospel, but none of that bothered him. He intended to preach regardless of the circumstances. Did Paul need strength of soul to fight the good fight of faith? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.